Dr. Chang, is the Delta variant now officially the non-vaccinated COVID variant?
Listen, the Delta variant is a pain in everyone's rear, right? I mean, the problem with the Delta variant is this. Not that it's some sort of super, you know, got a cape on sort of virus, but it is sufficiently different in that the folks who have had natural immunity to the first variant now are finding that they're still pretty susceptible to this Delta variant, okay? And so if you combine that fact with the other fact, which is that in North Texas anyway, our fully vaccinated rate is like 40, low 40s, 45% tops. That means that 55 to 60% of our population is now susceptible to Delta. Now, that was not the case before Delta got here, right? Because those with natural immunity to Alpha, plus all of those people that got vaccinated, put our herd at about 80% immune. But now that we have Delta, our herd is only like 45% immune. Therein lies why Delta is causing such a problem now. And I'll tell you that the rate of rise for COVID hospitalizations is no slower today than it was in December. Wow. The only question is, where does it peak?
Does it, and I guess in comparison, you know, because we're so familiar with the flu, for example, this right. is like, you know, you go and you get the flu shot and it's either for strain A, strain B, strain, what, right. you know, whatever strain it is that year. And they might say, you know what, this year it was the other strain and you did get the flu vaccine. Good for you. You're protected towards that strain. But this strain is the one that is still making people sick. It's kind of like that.
Well, not really, because the vaccines that we have, even though it was built against Alpha and not against Delta, they actually still work really well. I mean, so I would, you know, David and I were just talking before you got on that the new study, of course, came out that said that for complete protection, Pfizer is now sort of sitting at around 88 to 90%, right? High 80s% effective against all forms of Delta, meaning mild forms, severe forms, you know, whatever. However, if you do break that down and say, and ask the question, how well does it protect against people who are hospitalized or on ventilators and or God forbid, death, the protection there is still well over 90%. So it's not like flu in that if it was the wrong strain, you're gonna get full on flu, sorry. This one is not like that. This one is still very good protection even against Delta. So the answer to our problem here is still get the vaccine. That's the answer.
You brought it up, 88% for people that get both shots of
That's
the right. Pfizer. But if they've only gotten one shot of the Pfizer, the statistics show it's only 30% effective.
That's exactly right. Right. That's exactly right. And I want people to remember this. So even though I just said that our first form of the Pfizer vaccine is confirmed to still protect over 90% against severe forms of Delta, we can see that the protection is already eroding a bit as compared to Alpha, right? Let me throw this other piece of information out. Most people may be aware, but not all people are aware, that these variants come from mutations in the structure of the virus, right? Mutations occur when the virus replicates. The virus will only replicate when it's inside sick people. Okay, so therefore, the logic would take you to, and the science would also prove, that if there are no infected people, there will be no new variants. So in fact, we are causing our own problem of more and more variants because we are not fully preventing COVID to begin with. How do we stop that vicious cycle? Vaccines. Mm-hmm. If we just all get the vaccine, there will be no more variants. And so there will be no more danger of our vaccine not working. We just need to get the vaccine.
New studies have shown that Texas, Missouri, and Florida are now accounting for almost half of all of the Delta variants at this point.
Right.
That's surprising, or is just this just kind of a cycle that other states will be at next week?
No, it's not surprising to me, right? So number one, again, realize that, you know, when, remember when Michigan and Pennsylvania and Illinois were all in the midst of their sort of new peaks, and we were kind of just puttering along doing really well here? Well, it's because that form of the virus had not made it down here yet, right? And so our idea and hope was that we would get all of our folks vaccinated. So by the time Delta got here, that we would all be vaccinated, and it just wouldn't matter. Well, we were unable to do that. And so with our fully vaccinated number, again, being around 40, that's not enough. And so when Delta got here, it was able to spread. And so that's sort of where we are. So it's not necessarily really a what goes around comes around. It's simply that when it got to us, we weren't ready from a vaccination standpoint. If you look around right now, there's a recent New York Times article that just came out, I believe this week, sort of correlating between your vaccination rate versus the spread of Delta at this point. It's very clear. Those states with 60% or 70% fully vaccinated citizens, they're seeing virtually no cases at all. Yet those of us who are in the 30s and 40s, we're seeing a whole heck of a lot of Delta spread. So again, this is common sense. This is not surprising to anybody. It makes very good sense, even to folks who don't study the science.
You know, when we talk about having hosts available to allow this virus to mutate, right, that doesn't discriminate towards anybody, young or old. And we have a lot of young hosts that are going back to school and they're going to be in person again. You know, we continue to talk about mask mandates, vaccine eligibility. What is the current forefront now on how to fight coronavirus when kids go back to school?
Listen, that's of high concern. That is of high concern to us in the healthcare community right now, of what happens when September rolls around. Because right now, we know that in my hospital, which is reflected in every hospital around here, in my hospital right now, I can tell you that today I have 45 patients in the hospital with active COVID-19. If we were back in December, I would expect 15 to 20 of those individuals to be 65 or older. Mm-hmm. That's who was getting sick before because of immunocompromise and weakened immune systems and things like that. I'm not seeing virtually any over the age of 65 admitted to the hospital. And why is that? Because the vaccine penetration in that age group is well over 75% in North Texas. So they're not getting sick, okay? So when we look at our demographics of folks who are now getting sick enough to be admitted to the hospital, it is now the 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds that were so uncommon before are now very common, and the most common, in fact. Okay, now let's link this to what happens in the fall. If our 30 and 40-year-olds, who, if we do the math, those are our parents, right? Those are the parents of school-aged children, is our 30 and 40-year-olds. If that is the demographic in which we have the lowest vaccine penetration, their kids go to school, they bring home the virus, where do we think the virus is gonna propagate? It's gonna be exactly in these young families. And by having unimmunized children go to school, they're gonna bring it back home. And that's where we're gonna see it. It's gonna run rampant in this age group. And that is our concern. Now, the good thing, of course, is that young people tend to fight stuff off pretty well. So that's good. And that's also an interesting demographic situation that we're seeing now at our hospital, is that even though the large majority of folks admitted to the hospital are young, we are seeing far less ICU patients than we did in the wintertime because these are younger people. So it's kind of ironic how some of these things are shifting. But if you look at the science and the physiology, that makes sense. But yes, we are very concerned with what happens in September.
There are calls for people to go back behind masks. There have been questions about whether or not kids are going to have to wear masks when they go back to school. The governor has said he will not set up mask mandates. across the state, especially in schools. How dangerous is that?
Listen, to me, we have got to focus on the vaccine. The masks, it's just, it's number one. If we were to compare the two methods of prevention, okay, the vaccine versus the mask, you're talking about like a pop gun versus a bazooka. Okay. That is the magnitude of difference of the effectiveness. All right. Our vaccine is orders of magnitude more effective than masks. We have a vaccine. You know, let me take us back a little bit too. Let's take us back about 16 months, right? Let's take us back all the way to March of last year when all of this started going around the globe. What did we want? What we all wanted was a treatment and cure for this deadly disease that was going around the world. What were we delivered in the end of December? We were delivered a 97% effective treatment and prevention for this disease. Yet half of us don't want to get it now, right? So rather than talk about masking and should we be masking and should there be a mandate and all these, what we really should be talking about is, guys, this is what we prayed for when the disease was running rampant throughout the world, is that our scientists would hurry up and find a treatment. Recall, we tried everything, including the kitchen sink, against this virus at the beginning, all of which, by the way, have proven to not be very effective. Okay, but we were ready to try anything. And now we have something proven to work, and we can't get half of our folks to go get it. That is where we have to focus our efforts. That is where we have to focus all of the attention, because that's the way we're going to beat COVID. We could be in masks. I promise you, we can be in masks for the next 10 years and it will not get rid of COVID. We have to get the vaccinations going.
How quickly we forget.
That's yes, exactly.
You know, yeah, it's just, it's amazing to me, you know, having conversations with just, you know, family members or whatnot who just refuse to get the vaccine. And it's like, do you not remember when we had Hutchins Convention Center, you know, open for and people running out of, you know, space for dead bodies to store them? I mean, it just,
this is not exactly worse. That's exactly right. I mean, this is one of those situations where we don't know how good we have it,
right?
When we have the luxury to sit here and you know, debate on in our neighborhoods and around our tables about a medicine that has been invented and designed to fight the deadliest infectious disease we have seen since the 1918 Spanish flu.
World, and it's not our country problem. This is a global pandemic. This is affecting everyone.
Right. I mean, the most recent statistics, let's take a look, right? 200 million people. It's a staggering number. 200 million people have been afflicted by COVID-19 around the world.
How do you break through the wall of those people that have dug their heels in and there is nothing you're going to be able to do or say that will convince them to get the vaccine? Because for whatever reason, be it political, be it their own personal biases, that they just refuse it.
David, it's, you know, it's disheartening. I mean, I can think of a lot of words, but that's the one I've settled on, you know, over the last week or so. I mean, it's disheartening. You know, I go around and I tell people, I've used all kinds of ways to try to convince people to get vaccinated. You have heard me, I'm sure, on many different media outlets trying to convince people to get the vaccine. But I will tell you a story that I hope helps. You know, as the chief medical officer, I walk around the hospital. And I do what's called rounds. And I go around and I talk to our frontline workers. I talk to our doctors, our nurses, our techs, our environmental services folks, those who have to clean all of our rooms, our facilities. So it's everybody. I talk to everybody, all of our frontline caregivers. When we closed four of our five COVID wards, we had celebrations around the entire hospital, whether it was in the support services areas or the wards themselves, we had celebrations. And now when I walk around the hospital and I look into the eyes of the nurses and the doctors who have seen so much death from COVID-19 and to have felt the hope of vaccination and the cases going down, to now have to realize that it's coming again and it's fully preventable. The look that I see in my caregiver's eyes is indescribable. It's indescribable how sad it makes us. I'll tell you another little story. We recently had a young lady, a patient, who held the hand of a nurse and cried and asked her, why did I not get the vaccine? It's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, it is too late when you regret it. I can't stop it at that point. The other thing I would like people to understand is it has now been 15 months since pandemic was declared. I still do not have one treatment that I can give you that is effective after you've already been hospitalized. Let me say that again. After all of this time, there's not one treatment I can give you, not one antibiotic, not one antiviral, nothing that will cure COVID-19 and take it away from you. All I can do in the hospital is do my best to support your body to fight off the disease yourself, okay? There's only been one thing made that can actually hurt the virus, and that is the vaccine. Okay, so everyone must realize the prevention is the only step, because after that, it's up to your body. That's it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!